Akamai Cloud, GPUs for agentic AI. Bring AI inferencing closer to users everywhere. Get started at akamai.com/GPU.
So last episode, we talked about infidelity, what that looks like in today's culture, and how confusing the boundaries have become. And today we're going to take it a little bit deeper, because quite often, infidelity and betrayal often becomes the doorway to what we like to call self-love. And so Jessica Maria is back, and she's here to talk to us about self-love, especially after infidelity. If you haven't checked out the last episode, please do so. But we're super excited to talk to you guys today about self-love. Jessica, it's so good to have you back. I know you were rushing today. I'm so glad that you made it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, this is, I love this topic, and still something that, you know, I'm even building within myself. But definitely I've taken myself very far from self-hatred and a lot more compassion and self-love that I have for myself, as well as for other people as well. And infidelity was something that did, you know, definitely open that gateway for me. And it doesn't have to be that we need to experience a painful event or that we have to go through something difficult. Like, we can access this right now. We are all worthy, and we're all good. You know, we're not this, we don't have this immortal sin within us, and we're not bad. We're not born bad. The world definitely changes us and shapes our minds, but we are all good, and we all deserve to feel good about ourselves. It's what, you know, what else are we here to do?
Yeah, for sure.
We can't change your body in terms of, we can't go into another person's body. We got to love the body that we got and how we are. But definitely infidelity, it made me think, because I was definitely on a spiritual, emotional journey before infidelity, and getting cheated on detested me, you know, and I failed because I completely crumbled after it. And I was thinking, why is my life completely turned upside down just because this guy did something that I didn't like? You know, he's free. He's not, I don't own him. I don't own anyone except for myself and my mind to the best of my ability. But it's like, I don't have this ownership of him. I can't control him. You know, he went outside of the, just what we, you know, discussed and agreed upon between each other. But it's good that he did that, because he's showing that he's not the right guy for me. But why is it that I am so turned down? It's because there was a lot of hidden wounds that I had that I didn't even know I had.
Yeah. So what happened within yourself in your experience after infidelity, and how did that, like, how did you learn what self-love is, and how would you even define self-love?
So it made me reflect, or it helped me reflect and thinking, why is it that I don't feel good about myself? Why don't I love myself? Why do I feel embarrassed? Why do I feel ashamed? Why do I feel guilty? It's like all of these emotions that can come along with a lot of life experiences that we get, and it's, they're okay, but we don't have to feel that way. You know, if we mess up, we make a mistake, we're human. But if we're intentionally cruel, then yes, I think it's important to own up to it and apologize and see how we can practice a different way of being. But it just made me think, why don't I feel okay on my own? And so it kind of trickled down to my childhood. And when I was a child, my parents, they left me alone a lot. They didn't really interact with me very much. You know, my mom worked, both my parents worked a lot, and my dad, he was more involved than anything. But he told people that he was my big brother, you know, and he just had like a shame of being my father, and would always be at the bar and take me to the bar sometimes with him. And my mom was always working, and when she was off doing her own thing, kind of just blowing me and my sister off. I don't even know what my sister was doing, but I was just alone a lot. And it kind of took me back to those nights where I was alone and I didn't, I was a child. I didn't really know. I didn't, I didn't explore play outside of being left in front of a TV. And I would go back to those times, which were so painful for me to think about. And I would sit with myself and I would sit and watch TV a little bit with myself. And then I'd say, hey, do you want to go up to the mountain? Do you want to go camping? Do you want to go do something fun? Do you want to make something or create something? Or do you just want to get out of here? And I would take myself out of that situation, that memory I have as my current self right now, and go back for my little self and have fun with her then. And build a kind of cultivate a relationship with myself and my younger self too, which really helped. And I still am on this journey. I still go back to that childhood era where I didn't receive a lot of love from my parents or family. And it helps, when I still experience those dark times, because self-love is it's a lifelong relationship. And it looks different for every single person. We're in a modern time. It's rough being human, because humans are crazy and humans can be have make no sense and be difficult. And it's like I still care about people. I still care about people's opinions, and I still take things personal, which is something I drastically work on, and I've drastically reduced that care amount. But I still experience those things, and I still have ebb and flow in my life. That's natural. It's natural for the waves to form and then to crash. It's just a natural flow in life. And I'm grateful to say that I have a lot more ups now than downs, but I still experience the downs. And on the downs, I'm not as hard on myself as I used to be. So self-love is just having that compassion and understanding instead of beating oneself up or calling oneself names. Just having a tender love. I like to compare it to if someone were to have a child, or if they do have a child, a little child, 3 or 4, and they were having a hard time about something, most people would not be hard on that child. There are people, of course, who will, that just don't know how to be loving or compassionate, but most people know how to be loving and caring with children. And I just say, treat yourself like you would treat that little child that you love so much, and just be kind. Don't be hard on yourself. Give yourself grace and compassion, and just feel, be proud of being able to survive anything. Being alive is surviving everything. We don't fail, and we do make mistakes, but when we're still alive and we survive something, we come out of something alive. That is, it's still a grace. It's still a beautiful thing to be grateful for.
Yeah, so my relationship, my most recent one, my partner didn't cheat on me, but it wasn't the right relationship for me. And the more I was in it, the more I felt like I was abandoning myself. And so it was like I had this urge to want something more for myself, but it was terrifying to think of starting over on my own because I didn't know what that would look like. And I started like you said, taking myself out on dates and like doing these things for myself. And eventually I was like, oh, okay. Hanging out with me is pretty cool, and I actually really enjoy it. But I know, like, in that relationship, I mean, he could have been cheated. It didn't matter. Like, it just wasn't right for me. And then that feeling of abandonment was so loud. I don't know if you can relate to that, but I know in past betrayals that I've been through, I felt like it was like it would hold up a mirror to where my love for myself was missing. Because like you said, suddenly like I'm like, why am I so lost without this one person? This world is like full of a million people, but I'm putting all of my eggs in this one basket. Why do I not feel good if I'm on my own? And that's where my journey started. I don't know if you can relate to that at all.
Yeah, definitely feelings of abandonment and feeling lost can come a part of it. It doesn't have to be that way though. And I'm not saying that
Loneliness
we
too.
can't.
That loneliness, that was huge for me.
That's yeah, that it's a peculiar thing being human. We have so many things supporting us. that we can't see. And I like to relate to, I like to go back to the inside of myself, like my cells. Like I have trillions of cells and tissue and blood and organs and all of these things that make me alive and make me be able to move or do anything that I want or at least try to do. And they're all working for me. They all have me in their focus. They all have me in their intention, and they all want me to feel good. They do every single thing possible. And that may not feel like that all the time. We can experience illnesses and injuries and stuff, and it may feel like our body's going against us, but our body is always doing what its best interest. And that doesn't, the autoimmune things, people with autoimmune, their body kind of attacks itself, but it's because the body recognizes something foreign within itself. So
Right.
it's different for every single person, but our body is not against us. And it's our psychology that's a little bit jacked up. And that's okay. It's just unlearning these things and being easy on ourselves. It really comes down to how we feel when we're alone. And that's still something that I have a hard time with. I do not do well if I spend an entire 30 hours by myself without, my boyfriend or my best friend being around, or I have family, but I don't really have that best of a family connection. And that's just my current life experience. And that's what I know that I need, because until God is enough, then nothing else is enough. But it's good to know what suits us and what our preferences are. My preferences are is to have people around me that I love and to have that connection and honesty and friendship and laughter and fun and games and not manipulative games, but just playing, like enjoying life and just doing fun things. And this life is just so short. Like there's nothing wrong with experiencing pain, but it's how we use the pain. Is the pain our master or is it our teacher? Do we become wiser or do we become a victim because of the pain? And it's like I've experienced both ends of that, those sticks, wisdom and victim. And I've learned a lot from both, and I'm still learning from both. And it's life is an ongoing journey that never stops. We never stop healing, we never stop learning. And we never get to this point where it's like, oh, we have every single thing. We always just reach for something higher and better and bigger. That's natural for being a human being. But when rejection happens, when we get betrayed, it goes back down to our actual biology, because humans were made to thrive and exist within a tribe. And if you were exiled or if you were rejected by the tribe, you would die, because your water, food supply, shelter was cut off. You would most likely die. So that goes deep down into what our ancestors experience about rejection, which is scary. It's natural to be to fear death. I was looking under a microscope one time, before I became a nurse. I studied biology and other things within science, and we had a cell, and there was a bacteria cell within other cells that were around, and we watched the bacteria engulf the healthy cell. And the healthy cell, when it was engulfed by the bacteria, or it was the mast cell, it was actually a healthy cell that was engulfing the bacteria. The bacteria started freaking out within it because it was gonna be destroyed by the healthy cell. So it's like even deep down on a biological level, we fear death. And that is what every single fear kind of just goes down to. It's like I lose my job, I'm gonna become homeless, I'm gonna be on the street, I'm gonna get killed. My boyfriend cheated on me and I'll be left alone. I'm going to be home alone. Someone will come to my house and kill me. It's not the same exact situation every single time, but deep down that spiraling rabbit hole, that is the ultimate thing. It's a survival thing. And I think it's important to mourn it, mourn the pain that we experience with grace, and to learn to take responsibility for our emotions the best that we can, but also not do every single thing alone. We can't do every single thing alone. It's like us asking ourselves, And also holding someone else accountable for the way that we feel is just like asking someone who is in a wheelchair to help you pack and move your house. That's a two-story house. It's just
Right.
not gonna happen. We're asking and demanding ourselves, and we're asking and demanding things from other people that is just not realistic. We need to learn how to take responsibility, but we also need to know how to express our needs and our preferences, which I'm getting way better about. And not a lot of people like it. I'm kind of feisty. I'm a difficult person. I do my best to get along with everyone, but there are certain things where I'm just like, oh, hell no.
Boundaries are important. I know for me, like when I've been betrayed in the past, like often I'm mad at myself. And then I'm like, it's more of like self-trust because, quite often, even before the betrayal happens, we can feel it in our
You
guts. So
know, yeah, you know it.
we know. And so I've always been so mad at myself. Like, and then I'm like, how do I not trust myself? Why am I not trusting myself? And I go through like that, like thinking, what do I need to do in order to develop those boundaries and to love myself more so that I can make sure that I'm trusting what's happening inside my gut, because
Yeah.
we know more than we admit we know for the most
Yes,
part.
and we're. Yes, very, very true. And we're afraid to act upon what we know because of doubt and because of fear of what could happen. And that's
Yeah,
okay. You
and then
know,
we
it's
don't
like
get
we can learn a
validated. If we
lesson.
don't get validated, then we're like, oh, well, it's not true then, right? Like, but we need to learn how to trust ourselves and so that we don't need validation. We don't need someone to tell us that we're right because we know, it's just a knowing.
Yeah. And that's what I like to call the internal validation system. So with all of this thing that I've created with the Uncheated Code, there is something that I call the internal oasis or inner oasis. And it is this place that we retreat to within ourselves, where we feel secure, where we're in our own little fairy happy land, and not like some. You can make it however you want. It could be delusional. It could be whatever magical, whatever, however someone wants to be it. But a place that feels lovely and safe to ourselves, where we can be ourselves and we know that it's okay to be ourselves. We know that it's okay. We know that there's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with ourselves and that we are the prizes women. Anyone that identifies as a lady, that goes for theys, thems, and my girlies, the gays, the ladies, everyone that's a girl. We are a prize. We rule this world. This world would not exist with human beings without women. And there needs to be more prize seen in us because we give life to this world. We give life to existence of physical form. And, you know, of course, you know, men always like to defend. It's like, oh, well, how would you get the baby? And it's like very true. We have to co-create together, but this life would not be grown without a woman. And that, like nature is feminine. It just sits still and it just grows and it doesn't take anything personal. And it's just the divine, it's
And it's
stillness.
patience.
Yeah. And you know, infidelity is. It's not that complex. It can get really messy, you know, and it's definitely difficult when you're with someone who's lying about it. But when you know,
That tells me that that person has zero self-love. Someone who's lying to another person, like that means that there's a mistrust within themselves. And like it has really nothing to do with the other person at its core, in my opinion. But if you're not sure of yourself as the person that's getting the being betrayed on, or someone's cheating on you, it can feel really like life-threatening. Like you said, it can really feel that deep. It can cut to the core, especially if you're putting all that onto that person to fulfill something in you that you can't fulfill in yourself.
That's
So
why
how
it's
does someone
important.
start reclaiming their self-love? Like, what are things that someone can do?
Well, that's the importance of building this internal oasis, which is a relationship a woman holds within herself, with herself and her soul, and with God. And it doesn't have to be a religious god if that makes, that's not someone's way. It can be whatever higher power that they believe in. And building this secure knowing that everything's going to be okay, and that they feel this worthiness, this strong worthiness, and that even without anyone else, that they're fine. That's, they're going to be taken care of in whatever means, whatever way it is, everything's going to be fine. And it's something that just takes time, and it's a reoccurring thing that we have to work on, especially being built up in a society with the current modern time and world human society that we're in. It's not just this modern time. It's always, it's centuries of women and men being programmed based off of the sex that they're born in. Men, boys, they are rewarded a lot, and they figure out how to lie and manipulate at a very early age to get what they want. They have this drive within themselves that is biologic, and not lying, but men are biologically programmed just like women, but men have a huge drive to procreate. Okay. And since they're little boys, they find ways to manipulate the situation so they get what they want. I have an example. My mother, bless her heart, but I'm like, Mom, seriously, you can't let this happen. We didn't have any boys growing up. It was just me and my sister. But my sister had a baby. He's my little nephew. He's a cutie. He was at my house one time, and I said, we're not putting on the projector because I don't have a TV in my house. I just have a projector. I'm like, we're playing. We're gonna play today. And it was still in the daytime. Like, maybe we can put on the projector later, or like for a Friday night, like not a school night. And he closed all my blinds. This is him when he was like 4 or 5. And he closed all my blinds, and he turned on the projector and put on a TV show on YouTube. And my mom came in, and because I was doing something, I used to have this humongous house, and we were on the other side doing something in the garden. I don't know. But she found him watching it, and I came in and I was like, hey, dude, I was like, we're not gonna watch this right now. And he's like, oh, the projector turned on automatically. And I was like, no, it didn't. And my mom was like, just believe him. He said it didn't turn on. He's telling the truth. And I questioned my nephew. I questioned him 5 times. I said, did you turn on the projector? He said, no. Did you turn on the projector? I just kept asking him, asking him, asking him. And then he finally went, he's like, I did turn it on. And my mom was like, oh my gosh, he lied. I never thought, like, this oblivion. Because it's like, how could my projector turn on without it being pushed, and then his favorite TV show coming on? How would that happen? And it's like, that's just an example of how families, mothers, and fathers are still facilitating this untruth, which is, it's like, of course we're going to learn to do things, to say things, to get what we want, if we have this relationship with our parent where there's this punitive thing that's not fun. We have to make things fun for kids. It really comes back down to childhood, how we need to raise our kids in a way that they are secure, they know how to be truthful, and they know how to be kind and still playful, instead of this punitive ways like, you need to get a job, you need to pay attention at school, sit down and do what you're told. That's all crap.
Yeah, I wish I would have been taught how to have boundaries and like integrity. And like, I have always had integrity. I've always been open and honest, but I've never had strong boundaries, and I'm learning those now. But like, being able to say no, being able to like be truthful with what I really want instead of just being easy to be around and like going with the flow because everyone else does, like
No, we need
learning
to
how
be
to stand
difficult.
out.
We need to be difficult as women. We need to, and if that's too much for them, then they can fuck off. Excuse my language, but seriously, it's like, we men need to support us. We need to know how to take care of ourselves for sure, but men need to facilitate us so that we can stay in our feminine energy and that we can stay feminine. And it's I mean, something, just a suggestion that may facilitate you a little bit more with your boundaries is seeing them as your preferences instead of boundaries, because boundaries is kind of like a, you know, it's like I have specific things. Like, I don't, a hard boundary is like, do not touch my body if I don't know you. Don't touch my crotch if I don't freaking know you. If you do, then I'm going to defend myself and you're not going to like that. But my preferences are, I have preferences. And that when we use certain words and we have a certain energy about the way that we experience this life, that facilitates an energy and our belief to actually be realized. So this, our whole life experience is all metaphysical, and it's still something that I'm discovering and learning about. I'm working towards mastery of that. But when we have a certain view and feeling inside of ourselves about something, then it's easier to be expressed on the outside and to be seen and to be manifested. It's about energy, and the we have so much power with our words, and the power behind the words is the belief and the meaning that we tie to it.
Totally. And it's like where our focus is, that's where the energy is going to flow. So if we're focusing on the negative, that's what's going to come back to us.
Yeah, it I think that we're a lot more protected than we even realize.
Yeah, me too.
Very protected. But that's a whole different thing. You know,
Yeah,
that's
that's a
going
whole
deeper
nother
down to
podcast. That's the
metaphysics.
next
We get
episode.
another episode, next class. Yeah.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell us more about the work that you do and about the app that you created.
So I have a couple things that I do. I'm semi-retired registered nurse. That's physical work that I do here and wherever I'm at. I'm in Arizona right now. But I also created a coaching business specifically tailored for women to discover and express their highest self. And it comes through a format of metaphysical and holistic coaching that is accompanied with nutrition and flexibility training. I think flexibility is so important in expanding. When our mind is expanding, we need to expand our body as well. And it's important that we develop a connection and a relationship with our physical bodies that we're in and learn to be able to express it. That's a basis of being feminine, is our physical expression and the way that we move with dance. And I also created an automated course that comes with a group. It's a support group. It's specifically for women or anyone that identifies as a lady. For anyone that has been cheated on and wants to heal that pain, like a natural or holistic, more a freer way instead of these kind of constrictions where it's like you're getting back at your ex. You're really getting back at your ex by working on yourself and loving on yourself and forgetting about them, or just not forgetting, but just moving on and lessening that energy on them. So the course that I offer, it can be done in 8 weeks. I highly suggest doing it over 12 weeks. There's a lot of great stuff. There's four modules with two lessons in each one, and a lot of different insights of practices to do and things to start incorporating and taking out of one's life and building a relationship with a higher power, however someone sees it.
Yeah, that's a huge part of self-love, hey?
Yeah.
Is like that relationship with spirit, higher power, God,
Yeah.
whatever you want to call it.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, life is about focusing on our relationship with God. It's not about it's still something I'm working on. You know, it's like humans are crazy. You know, and I've seen a lot of things being, you know, working as a nurse and yeah, I don't know. And there's a lot of people that they're jealous of me, and just not a lot. There's a few. And I was just like, it bothers me because I'm just like, you're so beautiful. Like, or you have so many good things about you. It's like, don't, like, why are you focused on me? Like, get an identity and work on yourself, please. Like, stop worrying about me or thinking about me. I'm not conceited. Okay. That's just something that people who have more self-love and more self-confidence will get more people that hate them or are jealous about them. And those kind of people, we just have to send them love and compassion and keep a distance.
Yeah, it's because we people who have confidence and self-love hold up a mirror for the people who don't. And so I don't even know if it's, they don't, it comes across as jealousy, but really it's like because the confident person that loves themselves is like mirroring the things that that person needs to work on. And that's hard for people to stomach. And so if you're not self-aware, if you're not awake, that's going to come across as jealousy and hatred and anger and frustration. But if you're awake and you understand it, then you would recognize like the way you look out to someone that it's because you want to strive to be like that, but you don't know how to get there. That's what I think.
And it's important to have an admiration and not just this adoration, but just a appreciation. You know, it's like, oh, they have that. I would love to experience it. Like I applaud them. You know, my boyfriend, he's like a mini celebrity here. He has like a family that adores him, and he has like, I can't even walk down the street with him without people screaming his name. And I'm just like, what the hell? Yeah, he's just you can't go anywhere with him without people know, like a million people knowing him. And I love that for him. And it, you know, it kind of makes me upset sometimes because he doesn't see it. Like he's just like whatever, and he still experiences this epitome, this self-loathing loneliness. You know, we all experience that. I still experience that sometimes too. But I feel like I would have less of those experiences if I had a big community like him. And that's comparison. And I know that I shouldn't do that because I don't know what his experience is. You know, and it's just I have more of an admiration that he gets to that's his part of his life experience. And I love that he gets that. And it's something I would love to experience as well. But yeah, I mean, it's just in relationships, we have to support each other. Men definitely need to support their women, masculine with the feminine energy. Doesn't always have to be a male and a female. It could be whatever relationship someone identifies as, or however they identify or sexuality preferences. The masculine needs to support the feminine energy. And it's good to be honest, but it's also, you know, it's like I think a lot of people that cheat are really just polyamorous. They just don't want to admit it because there's like a lot of social fears behind it because of judgment and possible rejection from family and other people because of it, and you know, people just not understanding. Monogamy is awesome. I've always been monogamous. That's what I feel is most natural for me. But monogamy is not 100% for the human species. Like we're mammals, we're not meant to be monogamous.
It's so crazy to me that like people say in a relationship, like a woman or a man expecting their partner never to find someone else attractive. You know, like I don't know, when I was younger, I used to get so jealous and like uncomfortable if there was another attractive person around and I was in a relationship. But it's like that is so crazy to me to think. How can one person fulfill another person's like desires fully?
All
Like
the
it's
time.
normal to be attracted to a million people. It doesn't mean anything. It's normal. Like I lust over people all the time.
I know, right? So do I. Yeah. It's like I've heard a lot of ladies being upset with that. It's like I catch my men looking at other women. It's like, well, there can be a disrespectful way of doing that, and there could be a more respectful way of doing that. It's like when my if I catch my if I see my boyfriend looking at another girl, I check her out with him. I'm like, damn, look at her. You know, and it's like it's all about exploration. Like I have a lot of really amazing friends that are just very unique and have very fun ways of just living life. And one of my friends had a pimp party, and it was all acting. It was all improv, and we all dressed up as if, you know, it's like we're pimps and we're hoes. And it was just like this fake established party that was that we all had lines that we followed. We all had fake money, and there was this lady. I was just talking to a bunch of people, and my boyfriend was there, and I was actually one of the pimp's girlfriends. I wasn't a hoe, but and my boyfriend, he was one of the, I don't think he was an actual Pimp Daddy or whatever, but he was one of the top dogs or whatever. And there was another lady there, and with the fake money, I paid her to kiss my boyfriend. And I was like totally cool with that. So I guess maybe we're semi-poly. But I was just, it made me so happy because, he was having fun, and it's just like, I don't, that girl is a friend of a really good friend of mine. I trusted it, and it was just a one-time experience, and it's, he came coming. He came to me, afterwards. He's not gonna, he didn't have any kind of contact with her. And that's just my preference. It's like, I would be fine if something were to happen that I'm there, and I'm, because when I'm there, it's like, I'm totally fine with it. But it's just all of these things that it's bondage. You can't look at someone, you can't do anything else, but it's just like, we're human beings. It's, we gotta let go of that control and do that too. If we're bothered by our partner doing that, it's something that we can explore. Either we just go on to another relationship where someone has the same values as us and sticks with it, or
Yeah,
we
that's
explore.
important.
Because it's not everyone can do that. I'm not fully polyamorous. Like, I have a lot of polyamorous friends and they tell me stuff. I've learned a lot from them just about relationships in general, and it's a lot more freer instead of all of these rules and bondages. We already have all these damn rules that we got to follow in this world. And it's like,
Yeah, there's
we have a
nothing worse
relationship
than
where.
feeling like trapped when you're with someone. I know my previous partners, some of them had re were really insecure, but they projected that and they made it seem like I was insecure and they are the ones insecure. And so I remember feeling this insecurity, but knowing it wasn't mine, but they never admitted it was theirs. And so it was like I had this like feeling of having to walk around like I had blinders on and I couldn't look at anyone because it would make them uncomfortable. And oh, it was just the worst feeling ever, not being able to just be free. It was like feeling like I was chained up. And I feel like a lot of people go through that. That's why I love this topic today of self-love and learning how to just be with ourselves, trust ourselves, love ourselves, and attract the people who let our true selves shine. I don't know. I think
Yeah.
that's so important. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important that we know how to express our preferences and that we just are like, hey, like this is what I prefer. And there's nothing wrong with having preferences because someone can match us, and it's just having a dual party that can express both of their preferences and being able to do that and not taking things personal, not holding someone accountable for the way that you feel, but also expressing that we feel hurt by something. It's like, I cannot 100%, I'm doing my best, but 100% of the time I still cry. I still, get sad about things. I still get angry about things. I'm not gonna, and if someone did something and they don't even know that they're doing it, like with my boyfriend, I'll tell him, be like, hey, I didn't like what you were doing. Not that there's, that happens very often, but like my dog, she had a litter of 11 puppies. And I have four left. So, it's just trickling down those, the, so amazing, these little guys. But this one day, he just let them all run in the house. And I'm just like, yo, I am not cool with this. Like, they are not, they're 60, 40 potty trained. They're not 100% potty trained. And, it's like, they're like, this is not how I want it. I wanted to have like a more cleaner way of getting them in my house and having them outside. Instead of just knocking things over and doing all these things, and I'm just like, dude, don't do this. And he was just like having the time of his life. Well, as soon as I was like, hey, I was like, this is not, like, no, this is not cool. As soon as I said that, he's like, okay, let's put them in the crates.
Yeah,
So
exactly. You just have to speak up, right?
we can do our best because not everyone can hear us.
Yeah.
We can do our best, but not take things so personal. We got to lighten up a little bit. Something that I need to do. There's certain situations where I'm uptight about it, and that's not someone telling me. Like, I realize, like, I want to be more free about it. If I was a child, I wouldn't be having all these, annoyances or fears about something that's out of my control. Because the biggest thing with infidelity, when someone cheats on us or go, has sex with someone else, or just, I think that cheating is when it's sex. I think it's important that we express like experiences that we have with other people if it's that intimate, for sure. But I totally forgot what I was gonna say. What was I talking about? Do you remember?
That's
I don't know. It's, I think
okay.
it's important.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure, but I don't know. I just think today was an important topic. And where can people find more information about you and what you do?
Yeah, you can check out my website, magneticsoulhealing.org, or you can check out my YouTube and Instagram, same exact handle, at Magnetic Soul Healing, at Magnetic Soul Healing on both. Yeah, we just gotta lighten up and line up on ourselves,
Stop
but
being
also line up
childlike.
on other people and stop
Yeah.
being so controlling and hard on ourselves and on other people. It's like we're very misguided. We're in a very misguided society and a world, and we've forgotten how to play. We're supposed to be here on Earth as humans to have fun and to expand and to be free. And instead of having all these bondages and rules and all these things, and life doesn't have to be this hard. Relationships don't have to be this hard. They're supposed to be fun. Life is supposed to be fun. We're supposed to enjoy life and we're supposed to love life. And trust me, there's times where it's easier, way easier for me than other days. But it's good to know how to honor ourselves and to love on ourselves and be gentle on ourselves instead of so hard on ourselves, instead of holding someone else responsible for the way that we feel, and knowing how to express for someone else to hold space for us, because we need community, we need each other, we need people to be there for us, and we need to be there for other people too, because this world can be a rough place, but it doesn't have to be.
Thank you so much for this really powerful conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Do you have any last minute thoughts you want to share before we go?
Just doing things that are fun, that we need to laugh and really just love on ourselves instead of tearing ourselves down.
Yeah.
Especially after, experiencing a heartbreak, we gotta be gentle. We gotta be loving and caring with ourselves and give ourselves that grace and just laugh. Laughter is the
Yeah.
best healer out of anything. And just give ourselves grace, because some days, every day looks different. We can't be, we're not perfect. We are in the eyes of God, but in terms of our human standards, it's not. But everything has a reason behind it, and it's okay if we mess up. It's okay. We need to give ourselves grace, and we need to give other people's grace as well, but also take that space and stop trying to pollute ourselves with that other person that we're angry with. We need to get space and really just learn to love on ourselves and to really appreciate ourselves, not tearing ourselves
Yeah.
down.
Amazing. Thanks again for being here, Jessica.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And to our audience, thanks for tuning in. The deepest kind of love starts from within. So look within, and we'll make sure to have Jessica's website and all of her app information in the show notes for you to check out. Take care of yourself, everyone. Self-love is so powerful. Bye.